got to start a series for a few weeks on the woman at the well. It's about being refreshed and staying refreshed. You hear it a lot during the holiday period. Oh, we're taking a break, we're taking a holiday. I need to be refreshed. Worked so hard throughout the year. There's a big difference between tiredness and weariness. If you're tired, a break and a holiday does you the world a good, and it could be the answer. You'll come back rejuvenated and re-energized. But if you're weary in life, if weariness is set in, you can lie on the beach for 2 weeks and you'll come back weary. Because something needs to happen within. A revival needs to happen within. A refreshing needs to happen within. It's completely different, weariness and tiredness. And there's times in my life I've thought I've been weary and I've been tired. I've thought I've been tired and I've been weary. And the next few weeks I'm just going to concentrate on, let's be refreshed. Let's be refreshed people, that God has put Christians on the earth to be the light of the world, to be refreshed people, to share the message of Jesus. And we look at this lady that we're going to speak upon. And she met Jesus and she was tired and she was weary. But yet something happened within our soul, within our spirit. She got saved and led a whole community to Jesus. Do you think that's a refreshed lady? It is. We're going to look. This is maybe the most dynamic preaching that smells like talks for the next couple of weeks. How do we be refreshed in this world that tries to make us weary? How do we just be refreshed in a church service and worship? How do we go and live life refreshed? How do we maintain this thing of continually being refreshed? We've gone to some also gone to the refuel in just a few weeks. And often in life, I've thought, that's what it's about. You go to your Christian conferences, you get a topi up spiritually, and then you think, oh, that's got to maintain, man. And then a couple of months down the line, oh, I'm just weary again. I'm lacking vision. I'm getting tired again. In summer, it's a great time to get refreshed, but if it's weariness you've got, then sometimes it can be a lull as well because you think, oh, I should be refreshed, but I'm not really feeling it. You understand, Fern Gan? Let's look at John chapter 4. I'm just going to read a story so you get, many of you can this story, but let me just paint this picture by reading the Word of God. John chapter 4. Jesus knew the Pharisees had heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John, so Jesus himself didn't baptize them. His disciples did, so he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon, a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please, give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" And Jesus replied, "If only you knew the gift God has for you and who you're speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water." "But sir, you didn't have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I will give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. That will be your refreshing." "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water. I'll never be thirsty again. I won't have to come here to get water." "Go and get your husband," Jesus said to her. "I don't have a husband," the woman replied. "You're right," Jesus says. "You don't have a husband. You've had 5 husbands. And you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. you certainly spoke the truth. Sir, the woman says, you must be a prophet, so tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it's here at Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worshipped? Jesus replied, believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming. Indeed, it's here now when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit. To those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman says, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. Just then, his disciples came back. They were shocked to find him talking to a woman, but none of them had the nerve to ask, what do you want with her, or why are you talking to her? The woman left her water jar beside the well, ran back to the village, and telling everyone, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So the people came streaming out from the village to see him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, Rabbi, eat something. Jesus replied, I have a kind of food you know nothing about. And then it goes on for there. And for verse 39, it says, many Samaritans came for the village. And says, now we believe, not just because I've heard this woman speak, but because I have met him myself. What a story. Again, there's a lot of verses in there, maybe a lot to digest in one morning, but we're going somewhere here in the next few weeks. And that's why I want to say that he had to go through Samaria. He had to go through Samaria. Next week we'll be looking at, do you know the one you speak to? Because if you did, you would ask of him and he would give. And then a week after that, we're going to look at worship. If it's worship, go to D, we're being refreshed, because the lady was pretty concerned about worship. And Jesus says, well, this is how the Father desires worship. I was thinking about the Samaritan lady. This is the fact with the Samaritan woman. She'd been through five husbands. And the man that she had at that point was now her husband. You think she was a bit, do you think she had issues? This was a lady that was looking for satisfaction in the wrong place. It's a whole theme of the chapter, is this lady. She's weary in life. She's tired. She's disappointed. She's been through so much. She's put her hope in different things that simply hasn't worked out. We've got a weary soul here. And she's a Samaritan. She's a Samaritan woman. Not only she's a woman, but she's a failing woman. She continues to fail. So I want to paint the picture that I thought really looked like to be a Samaritan, to be a Samaritan woman, and to be a Samaritan woman that was failing. If you were a Samaritan, it says in the scripture, the Jews had nothing to do with the Samaritans, them that came from Samaria. This goes back to the time that the Exodus for Babylon and the Jews try to build the temple again, and the Samaritans come up and say, we'll give you a hand. And the Jew says, no, we don't even want your hand. We want nothing to do with you. Why? Because they remained and they started to intermarry with the surrounding nations. The Jews did the exact same. But sometimes it's easier, isn't it, to look at somebody else's faults and say, well, they had nothing to do with them because look at their behavior. And sometimes that makes you feel a bit better. So this was a Samaritan woman, deep division. We think of the divides that we've seen over the years. We think of racial divides. Me and Isabel watched a movie. It was called The Hidden Figures. Really good movie. It was about the racial divide in America. It was during the time of NASA. They had a space program. And then there was this black lady, and she was a genius. And all the rest of the NASA space program geniuses was white, but she was a bit more cleverer. And they had a problem. She was the only one that could solve the problem, so they had to invite her into the team. And to see the racial tension as soon as she walked in, Here's this black lady walking in a white environment. And they came too much to us, but they had black toilets and white toilets, huh? Some of you will ken that if you were black, you had to go to a separate toilet than white people. Or was segregation in buses, so they bussed to go around the town. Black people was at the back. And there used to be a sign up. It was colored people only. And the white people would be at the front. And as I say, the toilets was the same. And you seen her walking in on her first day. She went and got a cup of coffee for the arm that Abdi was using. And Abdi was looking at her thinking, what's she doing? The day after she came back. And there was a little urn with a sign on it, colored people only. You imagine living like that? You think of the day society, you think that was people's life. And we look back and we think that's crazy. So this woman, far they were at, far the geniuses was at, they didn't hear them. I'm spoiling the movie for you, aren't I? I'm there, it's just a teaser. Go and watch it. They didn't hear any colored toilets nearby. They were on the West Wing. So when she had to relieve herself, she had to run 45 minutes at Tinar, and you just seen her legging it, desperate for a toilet, passing the white toilets, and to go to this dingy toilet in the West Wing. They had a big sign up on it, colored people only, total segregation. And then she comes back, and Kevin Costner, he's the head honcho, he's the leader of NASA. So this goes on for days. And just so happens that when she went to the toilet, Kevin Costner was always trying to look for her, thinking, far is she? And he was like, nobody would stick up for the black person. He was like, and again, she's skipping. And then she comes in, and Kevin Costner was, why? Far are you gone for 45 minutes? I keep looking for you at your desk. You're supposed to be solving problems to get us rocket up. You're supposed to be the head genius. Far are you at? And it's the most passionate bit in the movie. She comes away with this speech. He's like, sir, I leave here for 45 minutes because there's no toilet for me in this wing. I have to go for 45 minutes, run and go to the West Wing because you didn't accept black people here. And he's shocked because he just didn't realize. And he says, another thing, look at that coffee. You white people didn't even want to drink coffee at the same hour as me. But this is why I'm 45 minutes late, is because I have got to go to the West Wing. And you're like, I was like getting emotional on that. This was people's reality, total segregation. The next scene is Kevin Costner taking a sledgehammer, battering down all the colored only signs for toilets. Hero. Ripping out the sign next to the urn, he tucks the urn, and he's people are people, aren't they? Segregation happens, and it's happened in this country and other countries as well. This wasn't different for Samaria to the Jews. The Jews wouldn't mix with people for Samaria. It says that if a Jew even as much as got in the shadow of a Samaritan, he would have to jump into the nearest river or lake to wipe him clean. It says that the Jews, when they go directly north through Samaria, if they wanted to go to the other side, would cross the Jordan, not only once but twice, and go a full circle, otherwise wouldn't they put segregation. Think of the racial tension that's been through the years. That, even more severe, was the thing between Jews and Samaritans. Closer to him, Eddie will ken about us, the Catholic and the Protestant thing. We are sort of protected for that in a certain dimension in the northeast, but go down to Glasgow. And it's still there. You get the orange marches and you get the Catholics and you kind of wear a Celtic strap in some areas of Glasgow. It's hard to say Glasgow posh, isn't it? And you kind of wear a Ranger strap in some parts of Glasgow. And if you div, because you're not wearing the same colours as them, you've getting your life into your own hands. For no other reason is tension and disagreement. If I was in Teen Challenge, there was a guy there, and he was telling me about the orange marches and the tension and the fighting, and this has been passed down for generation to generation. I said, why did he do it? Why? He was remorseful. So why did he do it? The Protestant, why did you just go after Catholics? He said, I have no idea if I was fighting for. As I can't whiz, I had to hate them. And it works both ways. And as other folk, I've been brought up, I've got to hate them. And there was different schools for different people, and you get people fighting for a cause they can't even tell you that they're fighting for. That's a bit closer to him. It still goes on the day, absolutely, than I think it does now. You've got the Irish thing and that going on. Paul will tell you some of the tensions as well, Ireland. So I'm just saying that to paint a picture that Jesus was in a place he shouldn't have been. This was a Samaritan village. This is in Samaria. This was a Samaritan woman that he had no right to go. He shouldn't have been there. It was a Catholic in a Protestant area, a Protestant in a Catholic area. It was a black man in the white side of the bus. It was using the wrong toilet. This was a Samaritan woman. But not only was she a Samaritan, she was a woman. Sorry, woman. But back in them days, you were second-class citizens. Again, women's lib and all that came on the go. And equal rights, and we love yous dearly. And we want to see you, women, prosper and be strong in the Lord and go and preach. And we've seen Sarah last week get an awesome word in season. And we champion the ladies. Different with men. Be a bit louder. If you can. Different with men. Yes. We are the head of the house, the head of the church, the head of everywhere. But back in that culture, she was a woman. She was meant to just bide in a house, cook her tea. She's uneducated. Do the ironing. Do for your telt. The other rights, just do for your telt. So she was a woman for Samaria. But adding to her woes, she had problems with relationships. 5 marriages, then another relationship. I've just got this picture of this lady just weary in life, looking for satisfaction, looking for love, looking for somebody to make her happy and be refreshed. And she would have had a bad name in the community. You imagine if she was for the broch. You think of how she was. I wonder how she felt her first wedding day. Yeah, there's been a lot of marriages recently, isn't there? A lot of Facebook posts about marriages, and you think, whoa, the preparation, the time, and think of how this woman felt in her first marriage. She would have felt good, right? She would have felt excited. I met the love of my life. She would have had a henny. It's the fashion to have multiple hennies. She would have had a morning. She would have had a hem henny and a way henny. A henny with her workmates. More hennies and farms these days. Just hens, are I? Hennies with my close mates. A henny with my casual mates. A henny in Benidorm, a henny Maitlands, a henny down the road, a henny at church, a henny clay pigeon shooting. And this woman would have went through all that. She would have went running so she could fit into her white dress. She would have been dreaming about the occasion, the day, and she did it. She said her vows. I think she would have been delighted, do you? She would have just been, bah, if I've been looking for. And for some reason, it didn't work out. We're not liberty again. The scripture doesn't tell us. It would have been somebody's fault. It might have been her fault. It might have been his fault, but it just didn't get one. Some folk with 18 sides, far's fault it was. But then nobody deserves a second chance, don't they? And so chance number 2 comes along, and she thinks, fun love again. God's given me a second chance, hallelujah. Probably been a mere casual affair, huh? they are quiet and doing, so well, I went from 5 hennies to 1 henny. We just are close mates, and then would have been time again to get ready to start swimming. Maybe not so much effort and thinking, well, I need to accept my for five arm. And I was number 2. Would have did it, say the vows and think, yeah, second chance. For some reason, when they liberated Ken White, it just didn't work out. And it might have been her fault, it might have been his fault. Then number 3 comes along, and that doesn't work out. Then nay, liberty, I think that was just a, let's just do this. Let's just get married by Elvis in Vegas. Let's just shotgun wedding, get the ring on. And oh, it was number 3 and number 4. I think folk would have been taking sides by that time, do you? If she was for the broch. Just nay again, number 4. She's got issues. It's her fault all along. She's got problems, relationship problems. And then number 5 comes along. She's near spring, chicken in there. Canopy. She would have been well on in years. She's now got a great name in the broch in Sumeria. Come on, Fox, you're for the northeast. What would Fox say about her? But name, would she care? If I would have been slapped onto our back. Come on, the kids are downstairs. Tart. Come on, we're adults. It would have happened. This is real. No comment. All right, can't speak about stuff like this in church. We're as well as can here. She would have been tagged with every name under the sun. And I was looking Google Images to see if it the portrayal it would be of this lady. There was no photo of her, but people, it was mainly dignified, and she still looked decent enough. That's not the picture I've got in my mind of this lady. We 5 marriages. I think she would have been weary, and she would have looked weary. I picture her with, like, nothing against tattoos, just loads of tattoos, and smoking a fag, and drinking rum just to sleep. I think she would have been hand enough. Maybe a person, people who are away, just relationship after relationship, was probably abuse, some way maybe. And just, she just, that's all she wanted, was just somebody to love her. And so she was a Samaritan, not only was she a Samaritan, she was a woman. Not only was she a woman, she was a fallen woman. In desperate need of satisfaction. Desperate need of somebody that will give her hope, somebody that will give her love. She's weary, she's tired, she's a write-off. Not only, it gives us a little inkling in the Bible, it says that she went to the well at noontime. She knew she would be alone. People didn't go to the well at noontime. It was too hot to mark the journey. They would have went when it was cooler in the morning or cooler than the evening. This was a woman that felt so isolated that she wanted to avoid people, the company of people. She was sick of their scorns, their comments, their chatter. She could tell when they looked into their eyes that they didn't want her. That as she seen was disappointment. 12 at noon, just so she knew, I'll be alone. I didn't want to speak to people. Want anybody try to do the shopping? And you think, I just need to get her and go and not speak to anybody. Because they'll ask how I am. I don't want to tell them how I really am. I don't want to be fake either and say everything's fine. It's like meetings are what I close in 10 minutes. If you didn't want to see Omdi, avoid Tesco's. In a Sunday afternoon, you will, it's like a congregation of the meetings. Are they getting their dinner? Are the Christians? Are the nice Christians? And sometimes we just want like a cooked chicken. I'll say, well, what I'll get is a bill, but I guarantee this is now a 5-minute in-out mission. Because I will see somebody that I'll have to speak to. How was the meeting this morning? Oh, amazing, open heavens and nothing. Why was this big guy? Me. It's just, it was great. Jesus was there. How was your meeting? Oh, amazing, better than yours, Ken. So some places you would avoid if you didn't want to meet people. Witherspoons and Maitland's on a Sunday afternoon. Again, it's Christian card again. It's like a revival hits these places on Sunday afternoons. You go on and you think, wow, Abdi's Christians in the Brock. It's now Abdi's just been to meetings and think, let's go eat something. So if you want to avoid people, you'd plan your journey to avoid people. I've did it before. I don't want to speak to anybody, so you can't far to go and fit time to go to avoid people. This was her. Have I painted a picture yet? Or division? Or Jews and Samaritans? Or a woman? Or a failing woman? She's looking to be refueled and refreshed. Well, look at Jesus. Look at his heart. Verse 4 is not a well-known verse, but man, it shows the heart of Jesus. He had to go through Samaria on the way. He had to go. Not because it was geographically sound, because there was other options. He was like, going to Aberdeen. He's like, I had to go up here. His heart, he knew there was somebody there that needed him. He didn't have to go to Samaria, did he? He didn't have to do nothing. He was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But Scripture says, this Jesus had to go to Samaria. On the way. Why? Because there was a lady there that he was supposed to meet at 12 o'clock. If I was feeling undone and weary and heavy laden, feeling useless, feeling like a write-off, got tags on our back, if it's society he'd put on our, he had to go because he had to meet somebody that needed him. A Samaritan woman that was fallen and desperate and weak in their spring chicken. He had to go because he wanted to meet her. Why? Because she was a person made in God's image. He says, a sacrifice that God will not overlook. A broken heart, a contrite spirit, he will not despise. He had to go to Samaria because he didn't see her as a Samaritan. He didn't see her as a woman. He didn't see her as somebody with relationship problems. He seen her as a person worthy of meeting a Savior, worthy of being refreshed, worthy of being forgiven, worthy of salvation. This is our Jesus. He says, I've got to go and meet you. He didn't see black or white, Jewish, Samaritans, well-known people, discouraged people, drug addicts or prostitutes or criminals or the educated or the well-loved, the well-liked. He sees past all that and he sees a person worth dying for. And worth going through Samaria for. He doesn't care about cultural division. He cares about people. He doesn't care about the tag you've got on your back. He doesn't care about your history. You think you've been having a bad day. Look at this wifey on our sixth serious relationship. And you think you've got problems. And we see a Jesus full of compassion, full of love. Led by the Father, because he knew there was a lady there. They had a predestined appointment with a Savior that was going to radically change her and refresh her. That's your Jesus. He had to go. He had to go to Samaria. He wanted to meet her. He wanted to have that conversation. He wanted her to be refreshed. He wanted her to be saved. She was a mess, looking for an exit door. And they wanted to meet with anybody, but God had his eye on her. Wow. And we look at Catholics, Protestants, black, white, and see division. And Jesus said, I don't care a jot. I'm going to cross borders. I'm going to cross people's pain. I'm going to cross people's anxieties and agendas. I just want to meet people and for people to meet me. So if it's that got to do with you being refreshed, if it's that got to do with you, because the theme is being refreshed and staying refreshed, you need to know that Jesus wants to meet you, even if you're in Samaria, even if it's not culturally relevant, even if people have tagged you. No matter if the doctor says or your job seeker person says, Jesus wants to meet you. You need to care that. Because it's easy to forget that Jesus wants to meet me. Understand how he wants to meet some people. They seem to be doing half a wheel in life. And understand with me, when I've got my devotion right and I've got the vision of the church and my personal vision and I'm reading the right books and I'm saying the right things, I'm feeling the fire of Jesus and people's getting saved and prayers are being answered. I understand when I'm in a good season that Jesus wants to meet me. That is not the issue. I understand why he wants to meet the people that have run the race, that are hearing God's voice. Understand why Jesus wants to hang around them and be with them and for them to meet him. My problem comes, but I'm not doing so good. And my devotion is waning. I'm feeling weary. I'm feeling tired. And people's not getting saved. I feel so preaching has become just a dirge and the heavens are like brass. And I can't seem to get clarity and only vision. And I'm supposed to tell folk how to get vision. And I'm feeling this so I'm weary. I'm tired. Sometimes I feel so, Jesus, why would you want anything to do with me? I'm such a mess of a man. This isn't turning into a confession time, by the way. In case you're taking notes. And you think, Jesus, isn't it? I want anything to do with me. Sometimes I just get so distracted by the world and by life. I get so weary and I'd rather watch a movie than go to the place of prayer. You think, this is just, I just prefer us just for a moment. I just think sometimes, Jesus, you wouldn't want anything surely to do with me. And it's that time the enemy comes and says, you're right. Your Jesus doesn't want nothing to do with you, you failure. But yet, to be refreshed and to stay afresh, you need to ken that at that moment, Jesus still wants to be with you. And you might go weeks in depression and self-doubt and condemnation, think, I can't get out of this phase because I can't get myself right and Jesus has not got nothing to do with me. And yet Jesus had to go through Samaria to meet this Samaritan woman with severe issues. And to be refreshed and stay refreshed, you've got to ken this at your lowest ebb. Jesus still wants to meet you. He wants to visit you in Samaria. And he sees past your illusions. He sees past what you've done in your behavior. He sees past your craziness. He sees past your depression and self-doubt. He sees past people's gossip about you. He sees past your negative opinion about you. He sees all that. And he says, you, I'm coming your way. Hold on. I still want to be with you. I still want to love on you. You may be feeling this morning, but it's going too far. The first thing you need to ken to be refreshed and stay refreshed is Jesus wants to come your way and knock on your door and live life for you. And the quicker you can realize that, the quicker and the shorter it will be that you will be weary. The longer you live with the lie that Jesus now wants nothing to do with me, the longer you will be weary and tired until you know that you know that you know that even if you mess up, even though you mess up times 10, even though you mess up times 100, and people might ken about it by this point, or nobody might ken about it at this point, or maybe only the pastor kens about it by this point, doesn't matter if I kens about it by this point, you still need to know that Jesus sees you as a person worth dying for. And he shed his blood for you. And he loves you with an unconditional love. And he wants to be with you. And he wants to show you how much he loves you. And he wants to refresh you. But the starting point is, if you didn't realize that Jesus wants that, you will abide in your weakness and your weariness. I've just realized I'm near the perfect person. I'm saved by grace. But the quicker I realize it low ebbs, Jesus wants to be with me, the quicker I can get on the worship music, the quicker I can get in a good teaching, the quicker I can just say, Father, forgive me. I just know that you still want to be with me. Come and be with me. Live life with me. Give me your life. Show me your love. Show me your compassion. And Jesus says, I'm coming to your Samaria and I'm taking a hell of heaven with me. Maybe you're here this morning and you think, that's me. I'm weary. I've heard the gospel. I want you to be sure this morning before you leave here that Jesus wants to be with you. Let's bow our heads and pray. This is not normal why we end services. But this is about isolation. This is not about a bold response. This woman at this point wasn't bold. She was still weary. She still wasn't wanting to be in that person, be that person speaking to somebody. And maybe you're here this morning and you think, I'll just recognize that. I'm looking for satisfaction in different places. If you're here this morning and you feel I'm just that isolated person, I recognize myself within that lady's story. If you're here, I just want to pray for you, but now it's like a bold come out to the front. I just want you to feel God's love for you. You don't need to come to the front. He can go to your Samaria. He'll go to you in your pain. He'll go to you in your weariness. He'll go to you. He's an advance in Jesus. He had to go through Samaria. And this morning, this is a divine appointment for you. If you feel as though that you just want me to include you in just a prayer to experience God's love, you might ken him, you might deny. Just pop your hand for your act. Just say, I'll resonate, and I'll see you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I see you at front. I see you in the middle. Thank you at front. I see you. God sees you. It's a main thing. And we want to go through this holiday period, not just trying to work out some way of being refreshed. We want the true refreshing, the living water. And so, God, especially for the people that have put their hands up, you see their Samaria. You see their trials. You see their pain. You see their weariness. And yet you love them with an everlasting love. God, at this moment, for them that have responded, demonstrate your love. Demonstrate your love by the presence of Jesus. Meet them in their Samaria. Thank you that you do not wait for us to run to you, that you just, with a simple response, you can show them an advancing King. And I pray the day would be a day of refreshing, a day that the refreshing of Jesus would come upon them, that they would know that Jesus wants to be with them, wants to love them, wants to refresh and wants to be everything in their lives. God, we break off things like guilt and insecurities. We break off the orphan spirit that tries to attach itself to different things, but it's just looking for a heavenly Father. And God, that spiritual connection would be sure today. Father, 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 Abba, Father, come and meet your people at their point of need. Unconditional love. The presence of Jesus. May you warm their hearts. May they feel your light. God, vision is for another day. Worship is for another day. Strategy is for another day. But for this point, may they feel satisfied simply in receiving the presence of Jesus. For we ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you.